Welcome to With the Will podcast, where to entertain and inform it while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark. I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm Dev Q, and I am vaguely alive.
I'm also vaguely alive because do you remember when? We'll talk about that when we hit Digimon Expo. For now, let's jump into Liberator first, because weirdly, I feel like I don't have a lot to say about both of these. Because I like that it's a Violet-themed chapter, but also, like, them doing a side thing for Violet, and even her going, this is terrible timing, what am I doing? And Arisa's like, why not?
Like, if I lose, I'll quit the card game!
Okay, so it's weird. Like, since the beginning, she has been like, I have to challenge Arisa, she's my rival, my lifetime rival. Has any of this other background stuff, like, even been hinted at?
Never. Not a single fucking detail.
Okay, I thought maybe I had missed some of it, because, like, a lot of this is generic background for blonde girl with drill hair. But,
aside from, I used Japanese media to study Japanese culture. I am a huge weeb. That's the only detail that ever came up or was even vaguely mentioned.
Okay, so what happened was, I'm reading this and I'm like, I don't recall any of this, but a lot of this is so specific to the blonde Ojo-sama characters in anime that I'm like, I don't know if they haven't mentioned it or if it's so standard, I just like blanked it all out of my mind. So you're saying you don't think it showed up at all?
No.
Okay. Yeah. We're back to a bit more cartoony energy, which I like. A lot of battle stuff. The only thing I remember from the battle is when Shumon was deleted.
Got like Looney Tunes zapped.
It does feel like they really want this to be like a big dramatic thing, but like the world is falling apart around them.
And they're just having a little match on the side.
Yeah, it's weird in the sense that like it makes sense for dramatic effect, except they have the character stop to even point out to us how ludicrous it is, which in this, that specific plot thing of we're doing something that doesn't make sense, so the characters will stop to tell us it doesn't make sense, does not dismiss that it doesn't make sense, which is what it tries to do here.
It's like, just because you break the fourth wall a bit doesn't excuse the fact that you're still doing it.
It's a fun chapter. I just, like, after four chapters of close is evil, twin close is evil, and now it's Violet's like, I'm going to quit if I don't win. It's like,
what?
Yeah, it's this feels like something that would have worked really well early in season two. But it does get like, back to what we've talked about for season two, where I can't tell if we're like 1 week from the comic ending or if it's going to go for years.
Who knows? I've given up guessing at this point.
Yeah, it feels like they don't know, so they're like keeping it going while... See, in the chat, they're saying they think they're trying to give motivation to Violet, but I'm not sure her motivation has changed by telling us this at this point, because they're giving us motivation that she's been running around saying it the whole time. Now they're just explaining why, but they also flash back to it in a way where it's supposed to detail information that we never had, which is odd.
It's like, yes, your random classmate noticed your Digimon keychain. You're now.
Oh no!
Rival.
See, I like that. See, I like that stuff, but telling us it now feels weird.
Kind of late in the game.
But yet, not as weird as the web novel this time. They did a 2-part web novel where the last one is Ryutaro and Dinomon running around kicking shit up. If I remember correctly, does that sound roughly right?
I just remembered he was there. Everything with the novel just blurs together and
so
just dies 15 minutes after I read it.
So this is a new chapter that's part two of that, but it starts with a flashback to something we didn't see that is a follow-up to something from, like, the second web novel chapter, which is when Ryutaro helped stop the gangster guys.
I totally even forgot they existed. Honestly.
I think I said that in my description of the chapters. They're flashing back to something from a year and a half ago that a lot of people probably won't remember is an actual thing, because I don't think there's ever been any suggestion that he's kept in touch with them or anything like that. It's just it's odd
that happened and just it goes away.
Well, it's weird because it feels like it's supposed to be a reintroduction to Ryotaro. Like, we haven't seen him for a while, but he was the focus of the last chapter.
Some point, I'm just going to have to, all at one time, just read all the chapters consecutively.
And see if it makes sense?
Yeah.
You think part of the issue is it's just the time we spend away from it is making it so haphazard that it's hard to focus.
Yes, especially also some details and whatnot that are, like, in the webcomic, and they bounce kind of back and forth with characters. So it's just
possible.
Who is doing what again?
Also, the last few weeks, we've had so much stuff, it makes the Liberator a bit hard to focus on, frankly.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, just skim over this. Oh, okay, this character's here. Okay, back to more Expo stuff.
Hey, look, Digimon Expo. So
much!
So first, 2 days before is when they announced that they're going to stream some stuff from it, which you can give us a bit more of a heads up than that, I think.
It would have been appreciated.
They didn't stream everything, which makes sense. Overall, I liked the event. My main issue with it in the end is, does it feel like it was the first Digimon Con times two?
It was a lot of stuff.
And a lot of stuff that did not necessarily need to happen in a row. Like, let's look at what actually streamed. So the opening with Terasuke, which, opening, great. The Eliason part, fun. The weird thing about that, to me, was, did it feel like a lot of it was they had a slot for Eliason, but they didn't necessarily have much to say about it? It was mostly showing off PvP stuff with Enna Alouette, I forget her name, the VTuber who sings the theme song. Also, during...
Because it's like, okay, we already have all this stuff that was at the various other physical events, and also the beta just ended, so...
So the funny part about the Eliason one, I had this one off to the side while I was doing something else, and at one point I start getting confused at something they're saying, and Lost was taking screenshots for me because he knew I was doing something, and I realize Chiba's there, Terrymon assistant's there, and they brought out the plush and doing the voice again. And Alouette's there, all talking about it. And then they're going to show PvP, but to make sure there's no issues, it was pre-recorded. So the person in the video doing the narration explaining everything is Enna Alouette. So you have her in the video talking, narrating, talking about what she's doing, while her on stage, Chiba and Terasuke are talking over her. Which is fine to do that, except I think having her there twice made it hard to follow at times.
They tried.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do we have for Expo? Da, 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 da. There was so much for Expo.
So much merch. I want all of it. Yeah. Please give me.
Okay, so after Lyson, they went over latest goods, which this... I'm happy this was like just a 20-minute overview of recent stuff. That was nice. Sometimes when they have like it's an hour until the next thing, they decide they have to have something for every minute.
It's not necessary, just...
Yeah, this was just an overview of stuff, and I'm perfectly happy with that. Then next up was Time Stranger. So they do the intro, they have some of the cast there. They decide they're going to make cast do a boss battle, a quote-unquote new boss battle, which Greymon Blue. I say new because we had not seen anything from it. We had seen that Greymon in trailer footage, but we did not know the context of it. So it's boss. I don't think it's very far in the game, so I don't believe it's spoilery. We got to see Marching Fishes.
It's only an adult level, so of course it's not going to be like...
Well, but here's I'm curious. You can cheat that a few ways, especially since it's a demo presentation.
Oh, yeah.
So then shortly into it, they pop out Agumon. They pop out Karamon. I still think the more I see of the game... The sound effects are terrible. I
didn't even pay attention to them at this point. It's just like, okay, they're there.
Yeah, they have not updated that sound package in a long time, which is weird because they spent so much effort talking about stuff they've upgraded in the game.
And that wasn't one of them.
No, but they will definitely tell us about doing Gaia Force 10 times.
Oh, God, that one.
Yeah. So
Gaia Force doesn't even sound that great.
No. Visuals, I mean.
Sound. I think
meant
like the sound for it.
No. So they did the Crossword stage event, the Beat Break screening, which we'll talk about those shortly. Day two, they went over the card game, which we'll go over. The products was funny because they're like, oh, we're going to show the latest goods and that will be streamed. And I'm sitting there going, weird. They only had 20 minutes yesterday. What's today going to be? It was a new
Shit.
present. No, it was a new presentation, but the same thing. And then they did another beat break screen where they only showed the staff discussion and then the O2 stage event to finish with, which we'll be going off in just a minute. Overall, I thought it was calm and relaxing, which is nice. I'm 2 days, I feel like, is fun if you were there. The streaming, it sort of felt like, why is this 2 days? It's like the
Yeah.
first Digimon Con, where was that first day, first time they did it, was the stream 6 hours, 7 hours? It was just a lot.
Yeah, I remember dipping out for a lot of that first
Yeah.
stream.
Yeah, I
Especially
like.
so much it was just like card game stuff, and then they just stopped subtitling it or something, and I remember if I'm that's the one I'm remembering.
I think the I've lost track of them because there's been a few, and they've actually really gotten those better, I think. This, I think what happened was they got stuck by the format of the 2 day live event, but like you know that it's gonna be the same script for the products on day two. You don't need to stream that again. Then
Maybe this really wanted to remind people, it's like, hey, there's stuff to buy.
yeah, it makes sense because it is an advertisement. Then they showed off all the products they had for Digimon Expo using that new key art. I will say I really liked all the products. I really liked the God, I'm like looking at the pictures and everything just going the motif charms, like the silver charms that were blind packed.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, I want the hats.
Hats were neat. Actually, one thing I liked from the charms though was some of the choices. Like the one is the toy gun they give Impmon.
Yes.
Like I like the variety of stuff they had for these. Or they've done the episode one script notepads before, but this one they did for all the TV shows. Yeah, it's just nice products all around, I think. I think the first thing that sold out, or at least the first thing I saw sell out notice for, was for the giant Terrormon plush.
He deserves it.
And then, also from Expo, we knew they were going to have stage events for Cross Wars and O2. Then they said the Cross Wars one wouldn't stream, the Adventure O2 one would. We don't know why the Cross Wars one didn't stream. I would guess some sort of agency thing, which tends to be what it is. The Cross Wars one included a new, about 11, 12-minute audio drama. Riku Sanjo came back to write it, which he was the series composer for Cross Wars.
Surprised he had the time.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what the reaction everyone had was like, oh, because they actually pointed out it was him, and he's been busy since the early 90s, frankly. So yeah, everyone was like, wow, it's actually he actually wrote it. So new villain Sakura Dramon appears in Jinbacho. Everyone is teleported there to the future by the old clock shop man.
Boo-hoo.
To beat the new villain, they have to add Arrestor Dramon, Tuarmon, and Mervamon to the cross for Shoutmon Cross 10.
Just keep adding shit.
Yeah. Then they throw in shipping jokes because those always go over well. Yu jokes that Taiki has his wife Akari to help him. And then to explain some characters not being there, they mentioned that when they were told they would need help, they didn't call Zenjiro because he's too loud for something like this. And then Nene, they made a joke that she wasn't there because she was upset because I guess the idea was Kiriha was using the jump portal to jump to other universes and try to hit on the Digimon girls.
Which is a bit of out of character. He'd be hitting on Taiki instead.
And then the O2 audio drama was Ken and Wormmon are on a family trip to Okinawa, so everyone else is trying to prepare a surprise for him, and the whole time Daisuke is concerned about ramen.
He should be.
Apparently, a few people got confused at if they were being mean to Tailmon's actress, making comments about her saying she's retired. And it's like, no, because remember, years ago, she said she was re retiring, and she keeps coming back, which is the joke since she's not there because she's retired. There's been almost no year where she has not played Tailmon. I believe she said she was retiring in 2020, and she might have said it before that, but so she wasn't in the reboot anime. But in 2021, she did recording for New Century. Then in 2023, she was in the beginning. Then last year was the anniversary of the original adventure. And she was in all those little collaboration games when they needed voices.
It's like, I'm retired, I say,
Wait, we're not done. She was also in the 25th Digivice last year. And she did new audio for the 25th D3 this year. So she's been retired from the role, but she's basically played it nonstop, which is, some people thought they were being mean to her. And it was like, no, they're having a bit of fun with a friend. It's like the friend who goes, oh, I shouldn't have that. And then they will order it anyways.
Yep.
The Crosswords audio drama, they've put up on YouTube in full. And nice. What I like, though, they did the thing where they show the character heads on the side when they're talking and actually have little speech bubbles.
Oh, that's convenient. I will have to check that out.
They also put up a report of the Q&A section. Yeah, so since we see everything, we get transcriptions of everything, I assume someone's agency was like, no, you can't stream this live. What if something embarrassing happens?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what if someone asks Sakurai about his marriage? and then, so, bunch of beat break news, which we'll go over piece by piece, because, oh man, now that we're getting close. So first up, they decided to change Golden Dawn to Glowing Dawn. The funny part was, by the time I could write the article, people had already come up with theories about it, so I listed the ones I had seen. The first was, it was the name of a semi-recent Greek political party that was neo-Nazis. That seems like the most like. The second one was like, they couldn't use it because it was the name of a group in Black Clover. I doubt they would have cared. And my personal favorite, it's the name of the terrorist group that Hans Gruber used as a distraction when he was making demands in the movie Die Hard. And the reason that's funny is it was not Golden Dawn in the movie. It was a different name. People are just forgetting it because it sounds similar. In the movie, I believe it was Asian Dawn.
I don't even remember. I just remember him getting yeeted.
No, that's earlier in the movie when he's like making demands. He's like, our brothers in arms in the group Asian Dawn need to be released from prison. And then like he covers the phone when one of the guys is looking confused and he goes, I read it in Time magazine or something like that. They changed all the imagery on key art to Glowing Dawn. They fixed up all that already. Then we got a quick preview of the end theme beat up by I Tomioki. This is a very different song for Digimon. I did not listen to that one yet.
I didn't hear the opening.
Very soft pop. Like, I will need to hear the full song because, wow, very different. Then we got news that Beat Break will stream on Hulu sub starting on October 5th.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Toei has always tried to spread stuff out more so than most companies. Hulu has also streamed plenty of Digimon stuff over the years. They streamed Adventure subbed for the first 50-some-odd episodes until it became exclusive to Crunchyroll, so it makes sense, especially with companies trying to spread out. So subbed, no news of a dub, but we will have it day one. And I believe, if I remember right, Hulu has significantly better encoding than Crunchyroll, which should be pleasant. The only question is who will actually be doing the sub work? Because
it's not some AI bullshit.
I don't think they would. Generally speaking, anytime that's been AI subs, it's been distributor in Japan has decided they're doing them themselves, but they don't have staff to translate, and then they rush it because they contractually have to for the streamer. Here, it's more a case of, is it going to be someone who does anime streaming, or is it going to have caption stuff in it because then they only need one track for Hulu, etc. And there's also no specific mention if this is exclusive to Hulu or not.
Timed exclusive would probably make sense.
It's hard to tell. A lot of people think it isn't because they saw the Japanese streaming list, but that is a very different thing where it's basically acting as syndication there. Where it's going to air on Fuji and Fuji Philly channels, and then once it stops, then the next day, or you know, even minutes later, it will be in 20 other places. Here, we're talking about this as a primary first-run show. So we will see. Then, from Digimon Expo, we got a final trailer, a much better trailer than I would say from some of the early ones. We're actually starting to get like some teases of character voices, we get to see more stuff. We've started to see some teases for evolution scenes, story. We get a preview of Mad Pulse, the opening, which sounds good.
I really like.
Yeah, no, very good trailer. The only thing I don't necessarily trust here is we are a hair over 2 weeks from launch. Do we really think we're not getting another trailer?
But
that's what I mean. Like, think about all the Digimon stuff we get. Has there ever not been a trailer in the last week and a half? Or it's going to be something like, it's not a trailer, it's a preview or something. Like,
it's going to say preview.
But you know what I mean. Like, this is not really the last trailer. This is the last, they're calling it it. Then on the forum, we opened a beat break section because at Digimon Expo, they had two screenings of episode one. So spoilers are starting to float around. We have not posted any because we were not there. We are letting people do it on their own when they want to.
I'll see it when it airs.
We have not gone the deluge of these do not seem to be quite right stuff yet. It's been very minimal. I think because a lot of the people who went who could speak English did not understand what they were watching. Although I definitely saw some badly translated spoilers for the Crosswars thing before it was up. My personal favorite was you joking that Taiki and Akari were married. People took as them saying they've since gotten married since the show ended. Like, it's like, no, he's giving them shit because of how they act.
It's like Akari's always like throwing pillows out so he doesn't faceplant directly into the dirt.
No, exactly. And then last night we got a reference book update with Gekkomon and his de-evolutions, Kekkomon and Kekkomon.
I love them so much.
I love them, but here's one of my favorite things is anytime there's something like this, you get people going, I guessed correctly. And it's like, you guessed correctly that we were going to get a green head Gekkomon and then the same thing, but with
stubby
legs and tail. It's like, that's what happens every time. That's not a guess. The one thing that I will
give people... have connected the dots. You have not connected.
The one thing I will give people credit for is the number of people who wondered if we would see the moon shrinking and growing between forms. See, that is actually a good guess. Not like the, okay, if you take Gekkomon's head off and remove some of the spines, that's going to be the baby, and then tiny legs. That's not a real guess. It's literally exactly what we get most of the time for anime ones. Also, I love the art for Gekkomon in the reference book. He looks like a goofy shit. And then they announced a special to air this weekend. We are the Digimon promotion team. It will air in the time slot the show will have the exact time slot this weekend on Fuji. It will have Takaru and Shogo from the comedy duo Tokyo Hotaisen, who it's declared their love for Digimon knows no bounds. They'll be joined from Zhu Fengfan and Hiromu Takatsuka from the boy band Innie. That just makes me think of belly buttons, frankly. And the idea is they're going to sneak into the production studio for behind-the-scenes footage. And that's where it's like, it's the final trailer, but they're also going to show us footage a week early during a half-hour special. And then, when the TV special ends, that is edited down from the full version, which will be made available online, including on YouTube. I'm really hoping that will be subbed. That is a great...
Yeah, I was about to say, subs, please.
Yeah. In fact, this makes me wonder, I think there was supposed to be a sports thing this weekend, like a marathon that got delayed. So I think this is probably something they were making anyways for YouTube, and they cut it down as a favor to the channel to air it. Because I think there was some sports event that got pushed back.
Makes sense if there's like weather-related shenanigans.
Yeah, sort of like, remember when Ghost Game had only aired like two episodes, and then they had to put it on hiatus for a week because there was a marathon?
Yep.
Yeah, it's that. So yeah, I'm really hoping they will put subs on it on YouTube. This seems fun. And I keep seeing this and I keep going, man, should we just go weekly next week? Just so we drain everything out before the show starts.
Yeah, that seems like the best call at this point to shorten our general suffering.
Yeah, we'll talk about that at the end of the show and we'll figure that out. And then we got a two-page spread in V-Jump. the title of episode one is The Beat of Emotions, which makes sense based on the show. I think that phrase is even in the show description somewhere, isn't it?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
My brain is fuzzy.
And then they show product. They show new art that we use on products. Can we just point out how great this art of Geckomon is?
I love him so much.
Him running. Doesn't that remind you of when Shoutmon grabbed Taiki in episode one and started running with him?
Oh my god, you're right.
I just love that. Most of the stuff here is basically just a two-page intro before the show starts for anyone who not paying attention, but like this is basically like catch-up on marketing.
Okay, by the way, we've got an anime.
Yeah.
It's starting.
And then moving on from Beat Break, not just new anime, new game coming. So first up, So Dev, here's the funny part. I believe our last episode was September 8th. Which is 2 weeks ago. I woke up the next morning. Time Stranger demo will show up tomorrow.
And I'm too busy playing Silk Song to even download.
So here's what's funny. Like, Dev, you know I've been unbelievably busy like the last 2 months. Like, insanely so.
Yes, we kind of both have.
So the demo comes out. I'm like, okay, I'll play for an hour, hour and a half, see how it is. And then maybe if I have time later, I'll do the rest. I ended up playing it. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop at the end of this cutscene. This is a good place to stop. The cutscene ends, and that's the end of the demo. Perfect timing.
Convenient.
No, very convenient. So demo came out. They did a new trailer. I like the demos on everything. I've loved seeing people trying the game on their various pieces. Do you know how many people we've seen that, like, my computer won't be able to play it, and it does?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. We opened the discussion thread early because game. It's functionally, it's not out, but it's at the point where you can discuss a lot. So, no spoilers, but it seems to scale well between settings. Stutters seem random between people. Like, I had some mild stuttering in the opening cityscape. Other people had stutters so bad that they stopped playing the demo for a bit. Others didn't have anything.
I will have to see what mine does, because yeah. You know my video card situation.
Well, so that's the weird thing was, I have a really ripping good one. So at first I'm like, okay, maybe the game just won't handle my system at 140 frames per second. I reduced it down to 60 in the same scene, and it's having the same stutters. So it's not power-related. Graphics clean, look fine. I don't think they're that impressive overall. It's fine, but it's not, like, crazy. Models look nice. I still think the shading doesn't look great. Sometimes it looks great, other times it's very patchy. Music I really loved, honestly. Even when it was at its most theoretically repeating and annoying, I think it just fit well. Sound effects are universally terrible.
Yeah.
I absolutely not, like, they
I mean, we've been shitting on them from the little previews
so
and trailers.
So my favorite part, time. And I've talked about this to a few people, like, I was playing as Kanon in the demo. There's a scene where you walk past a bunch of people to get to the subway, and like the music goes down, and you hear the footsteps, and it's like an old 60s or 70s Hanna-Barbera cartoon, like the heel steps.
Oh, God.
Like you would hear it in an old, like, Scooby-Doo episode when Daphne's walking.
Clop, 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 clop.
Yes,
clop.
Like the old, old, old ones. And it's just like it yanked out so fast because the sound effects do not match the graphics. But yeah, music good, sound effects not. Gameplay is basically an extension of story. Pacing is very much improved. The weirdest thing about gameplay to me, running around in the environment feels identical to Cyber Sleuth. That was, for some reason, I expected it to be have like better weight to it. And so it's still that weird sort of ice skate gliding.
Yeah.
That Cyber Sleuth had.
I know what you're talking about.
The other thing is one thing they talked about a lot in previews was the full camera control. A lot of times it switches to the Cyber Sleuth, the camera's at an angle above you, and you're just running through a hallway. I will say in chat they mentioned the voice acting, that was very good so far. There's been a few of the changes that I actually like was, one, very, 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 the your first Digimon can attack on the map environment. So let's say you have Patamon and you see Impmon, you hit a button and Patamon will attack. So that's your, you know, most RPGs have some mechanic to get an early hit. But the thing here is if the attack's powerful enough, you never go into the battle. You just get the experience and everything on the map. So it speeds things up very quickly. There's a lot of quality of life and also things to speed up the game. And I would argue make it easier. I don't think Cyber Sleuth was that hard. The most interesting one to me is if you're on the map screen and you stand completely still, health and SP will recover up to maximum.
Oh, very convenient.
So I've seen some talk that makes it too easy. It may. I think it's neat that in the sense of if you're not just surrounded by enemies and you have the patience to stop, you always get the bare minimum of health and SP to deal with the situation. You may not have energy, your Digimon may be too weak, but you will get the bare minimum that doesn't feel like it occasionally will happen in RPG where you just have no resources to do anything and you're just kind of stuck.
Yep, it's like, oh, don't want to have to do the walk of shame all the way back to the save heal point.
Yeah, this, I like that if you have the patience, they will fill up your health and energy. I won't say who it is. People in chat will probably say it and know who I'm talking about. Where you get like a run towards the screen chase sequence at the beginning. It's not good, that one. Because one, the control isn't that exciting. It's very short. And it's not very... It very much wants to be... I compared it to Sonic Adventure. Someone else compared it to Crash Bandicoot. You know, where you run into the screen. It's really exciting.
Yes.
Except you still get the weird gliding thing and the things chasing you. But if it touches you, it just then restarts. It's just not... Like, I get what they're going for. It just wasn't fun. The demo's shorter than I expected. A lot of JRPGs have had demos that probably run a bit too long. This stops at what is probably a good point, but it feels short. It's long enough that if you don't know if you like the gameplay or not, you'll figure it out. The one interesting thing is it makes the advertising around Inori make a lot more sense. The main character gets no personality at all. You get the personalities from whoever you didn't choose being the operator. Like, I don't think my character talked once in the demo. Which is fine to have a solid protagonist, except the other main character talks a decent bit. Runs well. I would say it's fun. The story thus far doesn't feel deep. I expect it'll get deeper. I didn't do the secondary city demo much outside of doing some testing technical stuff. Just because I just didn't want to play too much. Like like a lot of people are trying to like min max, like trying to max out their stats in the demo for transferring over. It's like that doesn't sound fun to me. I understand why you do it, but I want to play the game.
I mean, if they're bored and they have nothing else to do,
Yes, but when I see people showing timers that say like 200 hours, that's a little much for a demo that is 1 hour. To like, that means you're spending 200 hours grinding, Dev. If you get the game and play, do you expect to spend 200 hours grinding in the full game at all?
Dude, I don't even know where that many hours are in a fucking week. I'm just working around the clock.
Nah, I tend to agree. I believe they officially said it was Steam Deck compatible today, but I did some stuff there. The weird thing is, Steam Deck performance seems all over the place based on people. Like, I was kind of getting 30 FPS-ish, a bit lower. Humulos was getting 40-ish. Someone mentioned to him that they were getting 60, and me and Humulos both just went, "Oh, the apps, no fucking way." Uh-uh.
Did they take apart that thing and like overclock it?
I don't know. It may be because it wasn't certified for it yet, and they're still working on optimizing, but it's a bit weird for I can't imagine it was running at 60, though. But generally, bodes full. The worst thing in the game would be some texture stuff visually. They did a zoom in on some smoke in the demo, and the smoke was like 5 or 10 frames per second.
I was going to say, is the smoke like blocky?
Kind of. It was more... ratty than blocky. And chat, they're asking, did I play Central City? I decided not to. I ran around a bit to see how performance would be, and it on Steam Deck, performance definitely tanked in that section, which makes sense. But performance seems fine overall. I would say if you don't have the new consoles, and even if you don't have a gaming PC, get the demo on Steam and try. I think you'll be surprised. We saw someone in our chat who has, in our Discord, they have a very, very old laptop that they don't play games on. They decided to try it anyways. They were very excited because it was actually running. It wasn't running well, but it was running well enough for them to play, and they had no expectation of being able to play it. And this was, I think, a 10-year-old laptop. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to the game. I have concerns, especially as relates to a lot of people who will not admit any criticism of the game at all. It's fun. There are definite issues. I think it
is not a AAA game.
It isn't. And to be fair, I don't think Bandai or the game staff have acted like it is. They've maybe talked about a few things too much. We've joked how many times they've talked about how they've redone Wargreymon's attack visuals. They've definitely talked about that too much. So demo good. Definitely try the demo. I think that will tell you a lot gameplay-wise. So they announced an anime song pack. Two songs from Adventure, O2 Tamers, Frontier, Savers, Cross Wars, Adventure 2020, and Ghost Game. That will be a buyable pack on day one that you can replace music in the game with the songs.
Little addition. If you want to throw even more fucking money at this.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see what the price of that is. This is the type of thing where, like, if it's $5, cool. I look at a list of 16 songs and I go, why does it feel like this is going to be $15 or $20? They did a preview of Danning Kanan. Then we started to get news of more DLC. So I believe this is in-game unlockable stuff, not like pay money for. I hope not. But so first up, a t-shirt with Haruka Amamiya from The Idolmaster. I guess it's that franchise's 20th anniversary. Then for the game, they had Terasuke play with a Hololive member of the game and show off some new content. Then they showed off a one-of-one Time Stranger PC in Japan that will be given away as part of a contest. I have to say, I really fucking love how they posed the characters on top of the cover for the power supply, where they treat it like it's a rooftop.
It does look really cool there.
Yeah, gorgeous work there. Then, during Digimon Expo, they showed off the theme song, Wherever You Are by Riche. Very good theme song. I really enjoyed it.
I missed that one, so I will have to.
Yeah. Then they showed two Tekken 8 themed shirts, one of which is Lily, who was in a prior Digimon game.
That's funny.
Then they did a preview clip of Inori's dad.
Generic dude.
Then a Tales of Arise shirt, which is a shirt of a sprite of the mascot character Hoodle. They confirm the anime pack, and God bless Bandai, they can never do the translations well. So my favorite things is, one, they use the Fusion Battles international title, and
weird.
And our favorite translation ever, the recurring translation of how to translate the theme song from Cross Wars, Never Give Up. Neba Giba. I will never drop that one. Like, I understand not translating Unidentified Airship, the 2020 song, and just calling it Mikakunin Hikusen. I get it. Neba Giba, I will never, like, not laugh at that one. Earlier today, they shut off a shirt from Taiko no Tatsujin of Don-chan.
This shirt's my favorite of them. It's adorable.
I think part of why it works is it fits into that story theming we've had since Cyber Sleuth came out. Like, it feels like this is part of the visuals. They put up an English version of the theme. People were so excited about the Tekken shirts, they started messaging Harada on Twitter. Harada's the producer of Tekken, and he actually explained about Tekken stuff showing up in Digimon. He said, the producer of Digimon was once one of my subordinates and an artist on the Tekken project. He's been collaborating with Tekken throughout the series. Each time I simply say, sure, go ahead and do it the way you think is best, and I don't really supervise since he's fully capable of that on his own. So this is actually talking about Habu. I think Habu's first credit that I'm aware of was he was an artist on Tekken 5. So that is why Digimon stuff will pop up in Digimon is because Habu was an artist on it and Harada knows he's not going to fuck around with it. He just says, sure, because he's just going to
do whatever you want.
Well, it helps that Habu was an artist on multiple Tekken games. So he doesn't need to stand over his shoulder to make sure it's showing Tekken well, because he worked on Tekken. He understands it well enough. So Habu worked on a few Soul Calibers, and I think his most recent game credit was, I think he was a producer on the Sandland game from last year, which may explain why he's not on Digimon anymore. Then we get a preview of Marukimon. We opened a discussion thread for the game, like I said, because it's functionally out. It's not out, but like you can play. They did a 2-page spread in V-Jump. I just look at that Plutomon. We get the Plutomon art, which I like because does it feel like he's like a model walking down the catwalk?
Yes, absolutely.
Then we get Omegamon posing with the cape.
He's there.
I like the art, though. We get a preview of Guardian Palace. I think this is... I could be wrong, and someone in chat can correct me. I think this is like on the title screen of the game. Or on the demo. I've seen this, I just don't remember where. It's in the background.
It feels like a place where someone's going to try and kick my ass.
Oh, I'm sure they will, but yeah. Then moving on to Eliason. On top of the previews at Digimon Expo, when they finished the beta, they did a survey, and they've given us... And they fully admit this is some of the info, not all of it. Mostly it's people like the demo. There's some issues. There's also some confusion in their text, because they're like... People like the interface, while their own data shows that people do not like the interface. I think
they like it kind of aesthetically, but functionally it's shit.
Interface usability and clarity was over 70% neutral or negative. But in their overview, they mentioned the majority of opinion, people said it was easy to understand and use. Which, it feels like something's lost in translation there. Here's what I assume. Interface is shit, but it's probably good in one area, and that's what they were talking about.
That would make sense, yeah.
And also, from some of the overviews, a lot of players think that it won't be easier for players or casual card game players to deal with it. But that's good information for them to have, hoping they can fix that. Then over to Terriamon, he played the demo, and one of the staff was helping him. Then... They have him do the Ichiban Kuji lottery, and they make someone draw tickets for him also.
I didn't get to watch that video, but that sounds fucking adorable.
It is. And then, God bless them, I don't think anyone saw Cross Wars V-Pets coming.
Not at all, especially because, you know, the first time Cross Wars V-Pets came out, like the little digital monster ones, Digimon Mini ones, I think, they kind of sucked.
Well, you have to remember, those weren't the real ones. Those were the cheap ones. Remember, the real one was the fancy color one. It was like $100. They advertised it was an MP3 player. Yeah. And it's like,
I have that.
You have to remember, the minis were like a kind of busted one to sell cheaply. Well, that was the real one. Okay, so Cross Wars. It's the Digimon Color, Digimon Cross Wars 15th Anniversary V-Pet. So this is one where the programming is the same between both, as far as I can tell. If I'm wrong, someone please correct me on that. I don't want someone buying stuff because we made that mistake, but I believe it's the same programming. If it doesn't, it doesn't make sense because of some of the stuff they talk about. So Crossheart and Blue Flare colors. This is where they're using that really fancy UV color printing that they've done on a few more expensive V-Pets lately. So
the shells look really fucking cool.
One of the things we've talked about with the Digimon Color is we hope they would use it as a platform for the brand. So like we had the Digimon Color, then we had the Monster Hunter ones, we had the Godzilla ones, which have unique stuff, not just monsters, and they're doing that here. So you start off with some members of Crossheart, And then there's a battle system where you battle characters and then they join you and become your allies. And there's 13 Digimon that can join that way. And you can then Digicross on top of evolving with some of these partners. And some of the ones they tease with new profile art is not just Shoutmon Cross 4, we also get Cross 3 GM, Cross 3 SD, and Cross 3 S. And they've shown off new reference book art for them. They're not in the reference book yet, but we have like proper profile art for them now. So
that I'm excited for.
There are 11 Digimon you can raise, and there's 28 you can get through the adventure mode as part of Digicross. Yeah, so like, and you can get another Digi-Egg featuring Blue Flare by defeating Metal Greymon in an event. That's why it feels like the programming has to be the same between both, because they don't mention the inverse. They show off lots of sprites. In the world battle, there'll be the enemies from the anime. And
I love little dancing Lilithmon sprite. She's adorable.
And do you recognize the Digimon that's silhouetted? Yeah, I'm not going to say who it is. A lot of people are probably going, ooh, I recognize him from a game, especially since we don't know for sure that's who it is, but that's who it looks like to me. But we will see.
I'm just guessing in my head now. It's like, is that what I think it is?
That is a very spiky bottom that's from something Crosswords related who does not show up that often. But we will leave it to see if that's who it is. It can connect to the Digimon color, Pendulum color, the recent color Digivices it unlocks, backgrounds. It doesn't clarify if it unlocks anything special in them. It has the USB-C charging, cold mode, backup system from prior ones. I'm excited. This is fun. I really hope they keep... I mean, it's just neat that they're...
Like the Blue Flare one.
It's neat that they're doing stuff with unique playing to account for it. And this has to get people excited because there's like four different fucking anniversaries next year for stuff that doesn't get a lot. Like on top of Tamers, there's Savers, which is... Savers is 20 next year, I believe.
Shit, dude.
Atmon is 10. And I think Ghost Game will be 5. So like... Atmon and Savers fans gotta be crossing their fingers at this point. Yeah, so these are about...
I would like them Burst Mode and Ruin Mode merchandise.
Cross your fingers and hope. Here's the thing. That makes this actually one of the more important Digimon products in recent memory, because if you're a fan of the first four shows, Try or 2020, you get enough stuff that you're happy. If you're a fan of a lot of other stuff, this is like the first big thing that one of these have gotten in a while. And this actually needs to sell for any of those to get a chance.
No, but this sells a lot. They come out with like a Twilight version because goddamn.
So that's the interesting thing is like, if you look at the lineup, it does feel like, does it feel like it's missing enough Twilight stuff that could be like an actual like 1.5 version?
Yes, because you have like, it's like the one little dude there.
Yeah,
more Nene stuff.
There's a decided lack of that stuff. Looking around, like, am I missing it, or is there actually no Sparrowmon sprite here?
No,
no Mervamon either.
Not yet. There isn't.
Yeah. Like I see like Cross 5 where it has the little tiny yellow on the one, but we will see what pops up there. And then, you want to talk about the biggest fucking surprise of Digimon Expo. So I'm watching, and they're like, you know, this next thing isn't going to be streamed, but instead we're going to have a separate stream. It's 10th anniversary of Try. We are going to stream the stage play. And I'm like, that will be neat. It's not going to be available here, but whatever. The time hits. I decided to load up. I'm like, it's actually not geo-locked. I have some stuff to do, but I'm going to let it run in the background. So I'm doing stuff, let it run in the background. I'm a technically minded jackass, so I will often start clicking options. So look, start clicking stuff, and I'm like, I go into the caption submenu. It goes, English caption. Like, ha, those automated translations. I'm like, wait, it doesn't have the tag for automated translation. They put actual
real subs.
Wait. Real subs. I don't know the quality of translation because there's an issue. And I wasn't sure if it was for the entire time, but someone said that the first 30 minutes were fine. After you hit about 30 minutes, they're not timed correctly anymore. They're far enough out of sync that it's kind of worthless, but like they're going to stream until October 4th. So hopefully they will fix that because it appears to be an upscale of the DVD masters, I believe, but streaming, it's not geo-locked. There's some degree of real English subtitles. I don't know if they're good. They seemed fine from slight skimming, but there's timing issues. So I'm hoping they will fix them before, because it's up for about another 2 weeks. Like, come on, man. You guys, you're so close to doing right by people. Because the stage play is one of the coolest things we have, where it works in a format that really feels like Digimon should not work. So yeah, please fix the subtitles. That's so cool it's there. And then moving on from that, O2's 25th anniversary, it will have a joint exhibition with Ojimajo Doremi, also celebrating its 25th anniversary. This will run for three months. From November to February, it will be free at Anime Tokyo Station. We get to see new key art with Daisuke, Vimon, Ken, and Wormmon, and Imperial Dramon Fighter Mode. I like how like the art of Ken, Wormmon, Daisuke, Vimon is dynamic, and Fighter Mode's just standing there.
Honestly, if you didn't tell me that the Fighter Mode art was new, I would not have noticed whatsoever.
I guess I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's new. So we're looking for more details for that. And then, possibly the last two-week card apocalypse. Since we go back to weekly, it means cards will be cut in half. Ready, Dev?
Thank fuck.
Okay, so yes. Bergemon, nice dynamic shot. Although, I gotta be honest, I love the Garudamon where it's like doing a flaming dash.
Yeah, we usually don't see Garudamon from that angle. Usually it's like just from
You know what this reminds me of? It's,
Naruto running?
No, I'm trying to think if it's Strider or a different game where he has like a jump dash attack where he gets like flames around him.
I don't recall.
Then Detective Matayoshi gets kind of like in the general style of Cyber Sleuth, but this is new art. God, he looks crotchety, doesn't he?
I get that. It's a mood.
So Bakemon, this is supposed to be like a creepy art. It looks more to me like he's blinking while the photo's being taken.
Very grumpy or like has like a hair in his eye or something.
Yeah. We get the Hudi Net Cafe. I like the image, but this mostly just makes me feel like imagining Hacker's Memory as a strategy RPG. We're just going on the diagonal like you would in Survive.
Yeah.
Keisuke gets normal and parallel cards. The normal card's nice. The parallel one really feels Cyber Sleuthy. Like, is this shot in the game's intro? Not like 2D art, but like, I think we get him in this like exact pose and camera shot, don't we?
I don't recall, but I really like the background.
Yeah, I think this is in a trailer shot or something. I swear I've seen this before. We get him. We get the aquarium date with Keisuke. The one,
so cute.
I wonder if the one issue I have with the art is, does the glow seem to be like inconsistently done?
I think it's just because of the way that, like, if you look at the top, there's like the pod lighting and the screens, and just because of the water, it's just kind of like that in an aquarium.
Yeah, that's true. Then we get Gekkomon and Waymon. Nice painted image with texturing. You know what's weird? Waymon's charging up a blast. I don't know if I recognize this move as one of his, though. Because most...
He's just using a generic kind of water gun.
Well, that's the thing. Most of his water guns mention it using his blowhole. So, Marine Angemon's weird. It's stylized.
Looks lopsided.
I don't like the head. Marine Angemon needs, like, a balloon head. This is deflated.
Yes, that's a good way to describe it. Actually, his whole body kind of looks deflated.
Yeah, a bit. Pyokumon and Mochimon. I don't know much to say about these. They look fine. I like them. There's nothing special about them, though.
They're just kind of there.
Crescent Leaf and Comet Hammer. I like both of these because does it feel like it's the attack camera from the game?
Yes, but also I love that Wormmon looks so fucking angry.
Well, you can hear him. He's like, people always compliment Vemon's cards, not mine. Like, here's the thing. We all like the Vemon one with him eating the ramen at the beach. How many people even remember that a year later that Wormmon drinking a soda or whatever it was by the same artist at the same location, even?
Thankfully, I forgot, but now I'm remembering.
Exactly. He's upset at you, Dev.
It's all my fault.
Elizamon.
And her shiny math rock collection.
God, that sure is an Ojo-sama one. Like, look at all the jewelry.
This fluffy pillow and these giant dice that I want to chew on.
Then Violet gets very much manga style art. The one thing with Violet that I feel like I would like some consistency on, the drills.
I was going to say her hair.
They really need to like decide how the size of these shifts so much, and it doesn't feel like it's on purpose.
And also now like the insides of them are like bright purple, so... Is she using hair chalk? Are they faked? Is she just, like, attach and detach them?
I'm going to go with stylized shadowing. Necromon gets really, really good art.
Very cool, like, painting, sort of, like...
You know what bothers me about this art, though?
Fake brush.
It reminds me that I don't have the time to get good at Soul Calibur again. Edamon doing Dark Spirits. This really feels like it's trying to do, like, a Kamehameha pose.
Yes.
Nice yes. Look at all. Although, does his body feel like squashed? Or is it just the head position?
Yeah.
Is it just the head position, maybe?
I feel like the angle of it just makes him... Because it looks like his head is coming out of, like, between his tits.
And then Takumi gets the profile style shot. And then the action art. This is that one trailer shot, I think. I could be misremembering, though. Then Lopmon and Antilamon. I think the Lopmon is meant to be the one that's rescued in the game that they focus on a bit more in the manga one-off, I think. And then Antilamon gets a battle pose. The weird thing is, so this artist always has a unique shading style. Does it feel kind of like the Time Stranger shading that we don't like in the game?
Yeah, with like the kind of like
gloopy.
Really blocky.
Yeah, exactly.
Except it would look better if it was the card art.
Yeah. Makiko Date gets a card.
Gonna beat someone's ass.
So Eri gets a few cards. So we get Eri doing her Dokken Punch for a Tamer card. And then for the actual Dokken Punch, or as they're calling it here, Big Bang Punch, it's the shot from the end theme. Although, weirdly, I feel like the shading is slightly different than it was in the ED, which makes me wonder if...
They doctored up a little, maybe?
No, so that Atmon ED, which is the second one, it was all, like, different, like, shots of airy, you know, like, idle shots. They made merchandise of almost every shot there. I'm wondering if they touched them up for the merchandise, and if it's that.
Someone go and dig that up.
Or if this is just how it looks and compression made it look worse in the show, which is probably the most likely answer. Then we get art for Poseidon and parallel alt art. So does it feel like I like them, but are they both a bit too busy and close up?
The second one, like I like the color, but again, it's a little too zoomed in.
Yeah, it's like it's his move where he does like a giant energy hand to block attacks, but like, I can't see if this is an attack, if he's defending. It's supposed to be a defensive move, as far as I know.
Yeah, it's like, what is he defending against? Like, maybe they just turn the angle a little bit, but...
Yeah. Geo Greymon. So, I really like the flame energy leaking out. Does it come off a little bit too, ironically, gecko-ish in the face?
He looks like an anal.
Maybe. Something just is off in the face to me.
He's a little kind of like skinny.
And then, talk about someone who showed up a bit too much late. Didn't we just have a Mugendramon card like 2 weeks ago?
Yes, we did. And he deserves more.
And I think he had like two parallel cards. So here, menacing art of him dashing forward. What's funny was, had we ever seen him dash before 2020? Did he dash in any games?
He just kind of stood there and threw his claws out menacingly and shot you in the face.
Yeah, it feels like he's rushing you here, and that is menacing with the glowing eye and all that stuff.
Stampede.
Then Hey, you go get some. Okay, here's what I don't remember, and someone in chat can remind me. The actual Yugo was dead before Cyber Sleuth ever started, correct? Like, there is no actual Yugo in the game. It's Yuko in disguise, if I'm remembering correctly. So the last set, we had Yuko and Yugo, and both were listed with their last name, and now it's Yugo. So I'm trying to remember if Yugo actually shows up in either game. Okay, people are saying he shows up in Flashback, so close enough. But this is
okay.
But theoretically, all three of the cards that we've gotten in the last previews of in the last month are technically all Yuko. Yugo only shows up in Flashbacks, they say. So I don't know what that means. The same character's gotten three cards between two sets, unless the other card's meant to be him in the Flashback, I guess. Then we get Drakumon, Sangloopmon, and Matadormon. I like this one because it feels like progression for the same Digimon. We get him hiding, then we get like the action pose, and then we get him actually jumping at an enemy.
I really love Sangloopmon because like it's like, oh, puppy! Yeah.
Oh, and in chat they're saying they don't care about certain technicalities for Yugo in the card game. Yeah, Sangloopmon. I really like Matadormon's like jumping dive, where like it's like jumping. It doesn't feel like it's about to slash a motherfucker.
Looks like he's kind of like bouncing off of like, oh, what's it like? It's like that double jump off of walls, like you're springing.
Oh, the Mega Man X one.
Yes.
Where like you bounce off the wall and then his arms are sticking out. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, it gives me those vibes.
Yeah, gives me those vibes when you're fighting against the crocodile boss in Mega Man X 2. Then K gets a card in alternate. Both nice. The parallel is much better with the moodiness, I think.
Yeah.
Grand Drakumon, normal and parallel. So this is one where it feels like I like the normal card better. Like
he did a really good job with the coloring.
But I feel like I don't like getting the normal and parallel art at the same time because if you get them days or weeks apart, you have to like. You're getting them twice. Here we get two pieces of art, and looking, it's like, I don't know if I like the parallel art as much as the normal one. It would definitely go on a model kit box for him, though.
Yeah, I'm liking the normal one more. Also, I like this more like slightly lighter colors, so you can actually see more details that you wouldn't normally notice.
Although I wonder if removing the sample text would do that for that one. See, this is when I like getting two cards at once. The Angemon and Kilomon arc both show the same scene from different angles.
It's very cool.
Do you know what the funniest part is, though? Look at the Ankylomon in both, and he's making the same. They even have him making the same face.
Happy to be there.
And then, this is when we start getting stuff from Digimon X in the middle of the night. So Tamer cards for Chitose, Ryuji, and Hudimon. Or not Tamer card for Hudimon, but card. Was this the first piece of art we saw for this set a few months ago?
I do not remember, actually.
Yeah. Then the most important Digimon, Shakuamon. And it's just gold.
I was kind of hoping it would go more with the art style of the Angemon and Ankylomon cards that
I don't disagree, but I kind of like that Shakuamon's just like, it's just explosions and gold. Then we get art for Coachmon. This is such good art. I love it so much.
Run, Gatchmon, run.
Good luck, Gatchmon. Art for Cordemon and Consolemon. So Consolemon is drawn here without the Atmon proportions, which is weird.
It's really nice.
Then Ojomon and Beautymon. Ojomon I really like because it's slightly more desaturated than the richer blues we sometimes get, which I think works with the power-up vibe.
Yeah, it's not as a retina-destroying.
Monodramon and Strikedramon. I like them. I don't have much to say about these ones, though. Then
I mean, it's one of my favorite Digimon, but it's just kind of there.
Yeah. Then Box Topper Set 23 are various profile art of Time Strangers. So we got Hiroko, Monika, and Asuna with the little moon background. Then we also get three cards featuring, Minervamon, Mercurimon, and Tidemon all using their profile art also, which looks fine.
Yep. There, we've seen it before.
Then from Limited Card Pack 7, we get Dino Beamon gets new art.
It looks badass.
Yes, yes, it does. Omegamon gets some really good art. And this one may be an Easter egg. Do you want to know why? This is Booster Set 13 art. If you check the original art for this card, it's him walking around with flames around him, but like cartoony art. So it's like a reinterpretation of the art from the original card, which was from...
His eyes are glowing menacingly. It's like, oh, you're fucked.
He doesn't like me insulting the sword and cannon effects in that trailer from Time Stranger. That's the one where the sound effects most stand out, is that trailer for the Omega Model.
Yeah, that was kind of sad and wretched.
Then we get Alter B, which looks neat, but this is very busy.
Yeah, there's a lot of colors. There's
one thing I do like
going on.
One thing I do like, and it's something that doesn't get noticed a lot, is in his profile art, there's black haze bleeding out of the arm mouths, and they have that here in the art.
Oh, didn't even notice that.
Then a new art for the card Applic. Now, here's the thing. Interestingly, the original card of this was a screen cap card that showed Haru. It did not have Atmon on it, if I'm remembering correctly. This, they got Naoki Akimini, who drew the Atmon manga, drawing Gatchmon and Dokumon applinking.
And it's fucking gorgeous. Yeah, isn't the option card basically how they squeezed Haru into that one set because there weren't any Atmon cards yet?
No. This is from the set from just a few months ago that actually introduced Atmon into the game. The Haru one was the that special anime collector set.
Yeah.
And it was because this is that Applink is the actual Atmon feature. It was just I think a parallel card of the 25th anniversary adventure card that came with the Digivice is the one that I think they stuck Haru on.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Then Alexandrite, Malachite, and Obsidian Memory Boost. They're getting more eclectic choices.
I mean, I'm fine with this. Look cute.
Solid pairs, we get Tyrannomon and Dark Tyrannomon, Patamon and Armadamon, and Gumdramon and Damemon. These are nice pairs. I think art-wise, my favorite's probably the Patamon Armadamon one.
Yeah, same.
Like, I would like the Tyrannomon one more, but the framing's not very good, I don't feel like.
Yeah, proportions are a little... with the bat pig.
Then we get training cards, each one featuring Kulumon with a Digimon, and the art outside of Kulumon is just the two colors of the frame, which I really like. So we got Treadmill, Sprint Dash, and Image Training.
Treadmill is how I'm feeling right now, honestly.
I feel like the most amusing one, and the one that feels the most Kulumon, is Sprint Dash.
Trying so hard!
And then, at Digimon Expo, we got news. So they showed off the packaging for Amethyst Mandala, which is Starter Deck 22, which is an advanced deck. They'll show us a Rika Ruki card, which is her in her... This is her school uniform, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, a few people were saying that it was a younger version of her from the flashback of the movie. I'm like, we already got that card, I think. This doesn't look like that. So, yeah, I think this is
her school uniform.
Yeah. They showed off art previews of Booster Set 24, which is Time Stranger, which is, they show off Inori and Jupiter Mon. In February will be EX Booster 11, which, hey, look, Shoto's not dead yet. We get previews of Advanced Booster Digimon Generation, which is in March. Reprints, new cards, they tease Imperial Dramon Fighter Mode and Shine Greymon.
Fuck yeah, Shine Greymon.
Then they, next year we will get starters 23, 24, and 25. They aren't saying what's what, but those will be Beat Break and Savers themed. So what I'm going to guess is two Beat Break ones and then like an advanced deck using Savers or something like that.
Please give me all the really cool burst mode colors. I just really like burst
mode. It feels like that will match up with a starter deck. A booster set after the starter deck. Like we get a starter deck and it'll be Masaru themed. And an advanced one. And then the next booster will be like Savers. And it'll have more. They announced a new game mechanic, which is dual card. I don't know if they explained it, but the assumption that I've seen from everyone is going to be two Digimon on a card.
Neat.
I think we're all looking forward to Omegamon and Omegamon Alter S on the same card.
Oh no, that's good. And then there's gonna be like a secret rare parallel card that'll be the most expensive card to ever exist.
At Digimon Expo and a few other places, they're doing teaching beginners how to play with Time Stranger themed half decks. Also, the promotion pack at various events. So yeah, lots and lots of card previews. Booster Set EX10 came out, and we have all those previews along with some recent promo cards. And they did 2 pages of that in V Jump. Although it feels like they knew there was other stuff to talk about in V Jump, so like even the previews there aren't super set. The newest thing they have there is Hudemon, which they timed that so that would be after. Oh, that's interesting. Stark points out that maybe the dual cards will be Digimon and Tamer. That'd be neat. Card battle, we get episode 233, which is Magnetic Dramon versus Belial Vamdemon, and it's English subbed again.
Very nice.
I have not put up the new one yet because I keep forgetting to, but it's not subbed, and they did the thing where they only do the 3-minute Yuki segment in English, so I keep forgetting to do it. And
Fuck,
then,
there's so much other shit this past 2 weeks.
I know.
I'm not
So
surprised.
then, Digimon Expo, they announced Imperial Dramon Amplified, the model kit's coming back with limited color version, which will be metallic. Weirdly, this does not look like super fancy, but does it look really fucking nice?
I really love the kind of like almost like the matte glitter sort of color
Black,
to
yeah,
it.
that it's weird because like it does not look super fancy, but it looks nice. That's unlike, say, the Dukemon one, where like we just looked at it and went, this doesn't look that nice. It just kind of looks.
We couldn't tell the difference between the two.
But like even looking at this, like I don't see wild color differences. It just looks really good to me. Now, not good,
The
not good.
texture does it really
Now,
well.
not good enough for whatever price would be to import it.
Yeah, no.
And then
Nope.
new products at Premium Bandai. So first up, Digimon Visual Art Collection cards that include wafer candies. So they
Oh, no,
have
no, no, no.
main characters from Adventure, O2 and Tamers, evolution scenes, main characters from Beat Break, scenes featuring the final evolutions from some of the early mystery Digimon movies, and one mystery card. It feels like that has to be a Gekkoman evolution, don't you think?
Hope so.
Products with Vemon evolution art drawn by Kenji Watanabe. So we get
I
art.
really love that artwork.
It looks so good. We get acrylic artboard, shirts, and tote bag. Art's really nice. I especially like how the D3 is not the normal stock art. It looks like a goofier drawn
Take
version of
shape.
it. Yes. And more Godzilla Project Metal Greymon shirt. I like
I
it.
fucking love that art.
And the keychains, and we have not seen that War Greymon logo before, so we're all waiting for the shirt. I'm looking for those. Look neat. Pre-orders for those probably aren't open very long. I think the last batch of shirts was only like 2 weeks or something. Poll results for favorite armor evolution from the Digimental Digi-Egg of Light. The winner was Nefertimon. Two of them were clearly attempts to stuff the ballot, so it's still lost.
Like, I'm
Like.
sorry, Cat Waifu wins.
Yeah, it's like, look, Nefertimon got one out of every 3 votes, but let's look at the rest. So, first off, I Gargomon is not Gargoylemon is not popular enough to get 28% of the vote. And no one is going to convince me that Quetzalmon is popular enough to get 23%.
Yeah,
Harpymon,
I expected Harpymon a little higher up because, waifu bait.
And I think we all called Manplmon being in last place. Like, here's the thing. If you're gonna
Right where he fucking deserves.
We all expected Manvomon, although I will admit, I don't think I even expected it to get 4.1.
I don't know. I guess some people really love the ocean sunfish, despite it being the most useless creature in existence.
The new poll is favorite armor evolution from Digimental Digi-Egg of Kindness. Now, this is an interesting one because first they put both Poochimons together, so that won't split the vote. This is the only one where, ignoring vote stacking, the main one may not actually win. Because the main one's
I feel like
Poochimon.
Opossumon.
Yeah,
Well, I
Opossum.
always feel like Opossumon would show have a pretty good showing because it was actually a partner Digimon that
Yes.
existed, even though it was kind
Yeah.
of like more of a
So like so
obscure
like
side
so
character.
like I don't know if I expect Opossumon or Poochimon to do better.
Hard to say with the vote split.
Last place I feel like will be Chameleomon or Toucanmon, but I like Toucanmon personally.
Toucanmon was also in Frontier and was pretty funny. Like, I feel like Kangaroomon's going to be pretty low there.
I don't know, but like boxing kangaroo with plush in its pouch, I feel like that gets some votes from the Digimon fans.
Maybe Prairiemon will be the one to eat shit this time.
I don't know, like random cute animals feel like they rank to some degree. I don't know, but yeah, it's Opossumon or Poochimon's game. And then it's time for the potpourri match. So first up, some photos of the spa collaboration since that opened. I'll be honest, everything looks neat here. Although I'll be honest, they did not pose the stuff for the cat for the Neko Punch thing. Well,
it just looked awkward.
Yeah. Photos from Ayumi Miyazaki doing opening day of his current tour. Kenji Watanabe A showing off grapes he got from Hokori Farm. It's not clear to me if they were sent to him as a gift or if he just decided to buy fancy grapes and was like, "Holy shit, look at these grapes." I feel like they were a gift the way he's posing though. And he also ordered the Agumon Sprite lamp.
Very nice. Yeah, I feel like they're also a gift too, just because like
the way he's showing them off, yeah. But yes.
And gifting fruit is very, very
a thing.
A big thing.
No, I know. But like the way it was texted, like it was like, "I got fruit." It was worded, probably just me misunderstanding, but yeah. Then Chiba posted a few photos from the last Digimon card battle, which was subbed. He said, "There's English subtitles now, he'll try not to say anything weird," and then he posted screenshots of him saying something weird, as an example.
I was going to say something weird.
Yeah. To be fair, his face always says that. Then, for... And Alouette, who sings the Alison theme song, did a short event report on the booth from Anime Expo with some solid footage of it and also explained some stuff about the theme song. You know what the weird thing about this is? Whenever I see the promotional art of her, it does not look like the model. Like, it does not look like the same VTuber character.
No, I assumed it was also something completely different.
Like... Because we have images of her from, Digimon Expo, or in this video, if you watch the video, it does not look like the model, has much lighter hair and everything, so I assume that's, a promotional outfit from some event or something they did, because it just doesn't look like the same character to me. More Beat Break Q&A stuff. I forgot to do the newest batch of these on Saturday because of how much shit there was to do in the middle of Digimon Expo, so... More of those that
we'll deal with it next week.
Yeah, exactly. Then V Tamer, we got some interesting art. So Tenya Yabuno was going through a B3 size case, and a bit of manuscript art was mixed in. He thought it was from a one shot, but didn't remember at the time. He noted B3 size, very big art. Someone reminded him later it was from the V Tamer Frontier crossover. He later mentioned the screen tone was actually starting to peel off because of how old it was.
Yeah, like, the adhesive on those is very, very light to begin with. Because I've played around with, screen tone samples before,
and
so...
And he actually said the case mostly held a lot of screen tone, too. And he said in the past, used to be, he just had huge tubs of them for double-page spreads. So for people who don't know, screen tone is what artists would buy, and they would apply it to the paper to do the shading. So they did not have to draw it manually. They would make it adhere, and it didn't necessarily adhere well, but yeah.
Basically, the texture of tissue paper, sort of. And it was very, very, very lightly sticky. And then you would cut off the excess and just pop that off.
Yeah. And then, interesting, Takeda Yoshihiro, who did key animation, was animation director for various episodes of Digimon from Adventure through Cross Wars, noticed that, the daily YouTube streams episode they're putting up on the Toei Animation Museum YouTube. It hits episode 68. He only actually worked on, two episodes of Hunters, I think, because he was already elsewhere. So he only had so much time. So he found art they did for it. So they only helped with one scene in that episode, so they showed it. They actually say that was their last work they did for Toei. So they show that, Yu and Taguro. Yeah, and then they show the last two Bizarre, and they're like, that's it. That's the last thing they did for Toei. That those images. Then they said they post about a lot, but they pulled out rough draft images of tamers that they had done and shared before. Talked about old members of Digimon, thanked everyone for liking their art. And then they posted a bit more because they'd found a bit more for tamers. Yeah, very neat. Lot, yeah. In chat, they point out a lot of key animation. But yeah, so they had worked for key art for Adventure, O2, Tamers Frontier, Savers, and Cross Wars. And popped and was in a couple episodes of Hunters because they were already gone by that point. So yeah, a few more images of those. It's wild to see the style change, but like it look exactly like the shows, even though the art's so different between Tamers and Hunters. Then we get card game art featuring Unchained answering what her halo could be used for. The first one is to ride, which is specified to be a lie, as a weapon specified to be a lie. Open a gate, true. Also, the funniest one, look at the one of her opening the gate, where it has like the goofy face.
I want to see more comics of terrible uses for it.
And then Liberator art, Usagi Bochi draws Violet. The very classic dramatic falling underwater. Although, again, those are tiny drills.
Yeah.
Tomo drew Arisa and Violet in like back-to-back hero poses, but it's unlike where people would draw on like the camera booth photos.
Oh, yeah, with all the extra effects and.
Yeah, that's done really neat. Then from the most recent weekend, so first up, at the same time as Digimon Expo, Bandai Card Games Fest Dallas was running. So some photos of that, because that is where Bandai Card Game Fest 25-26 starts. Then, because the amount of Expo photos have been off the roof, Megumi Han saw the news of the stage play being streamed. She said, precious opportunity to see this online. She notes Gaku Matsumoto has a connection to the series. He played Tai Chi. He's been in a lot of Sentai and other stuff. She was very happy when he was announced being Tai Chi in the play. She posted a photo when she saw it live 8 years ago behind the scenes with various puppeteers and staff, and you can see a number of other guests there. You can see AIM. You can see Ayumi Miyazaki. I believe next to Megumi Han, that's the news lady who hosts a lot of Digimon events, Chika Chiwa. I forget her name.
I can't remember anyone's names, even my own.
You know who I mean, right? Like, she hosts a lot of these live event stuff. Yeah. Also, the wildest thing here is this. Like, look how young Ayumi Miyazaki looks. This is weird. Some of those puppets, they actually brought to different countries for anime conventions. I assume those have those type of foam puppets would not last very long.
No, they would start to disintegrate.
Yeah. Kenji Watanabe posted some relevant images. So first up, he showed the Beelzebub Ace card he drew. He says they asked him to draw Beelzebub and Behemoth, basically however he wanted. And he basically had an idea instantly what he wanted to do. He thinks it's cool.
And it absolutely is.
And then he said he went to Anime Expo and he entered via the merchandise line and ended up stuck there in the line, unable to leave. He eventually got in safely. He got permission to take photos of the merchandise. And he said when he drew the art, he had permission to do full color instead of the two or three tone they had done for some recent O2 stuff. So he played around with color a bit. Which explains why the color is so dynamic. Is because remember, he had done, was it two or three colors for the Adventure one? And then for the O2 one, it was three colors?
Yeah.
So yeah, so here he got to do full color however he wanted, so he made it more dynamic.
Yeah, it's probably because they were doing like, digital printing and not specifically screen printing the shirts.
So then lots of photos from Digimon Expo, including the ones we showed earlier. So the displays, they showed the model kits, various products. They showed off the products they had exclusively. A lot of people wanted that Wizardmon hat. Which I think is a pouch, I think.
I wish it was a full-size hat.
And then more photos of the event, including the new Shoutmon mascot. That is a gorgeous Shoutmon costume.
It is delightful, and I love everything about it. I want the microphone so I can start beating people with it.
So I think we're going to regret him having that microphone. Do you know why? I feel like...
Beating people with it?
No, I feel like when you have these mascot costumes, if they have a prop they need to deal with the entire time, it's less they can pay attention to doing stuff.
Yeah, you can't really.
Like the Agumon,
any fun poses.
Well, like the Agumon, the Gekkomon can dance and move around as much as they want. There's nothing that you have to worry might flail and hit a kid. Like, even if that staff is glued to the hand, which I assume it is, if he moves too hard, he could clock someone in the head.
Clock himself.
Which is a concern. Then from Tenyabuno, more V-Tamer art. He said that he barely rescued this one from being thrown away with screen tone, which means it was probably just, like, tossed in there. He said he almost tossed away even though it was so large. It laughed because, as expected, the tone adhesion is weak. In fact, yeah, if you look at the picture, you can see, yeah, you can see it like bubbling, especially on Takuya's pants and Taichi's shirt.
Yeah, and you can't really necessarily just press that back down because, yeah, again, it's so thin, it'll just like shred.
Yeah. Then the card game art this time was showing off Arisa and Violet shortly after they meet. Arisa suggested Violet wear a tracksuit lounging at home with a Terrymon assistant plush.
That's the best part of it.
Here's the funny part is this. It's cute and it's great art, but that Terrymon's done so good.
Everyone loves Terrymon assistant.
And then we get Digimon Expo art. I love the art where it's just Cross Wars, it's O2, and it's at the venue. I love the giant Imperial Dramon.
He can't fit inside.
Are we sure he's not inside and popping out?
I feel like he's just kind of like perching onto the roof like a cat, just loafing there.
Guess that makes sense. And then time for questions. We'll start with ones that were sent in ahead of time so you guys in chat can throw yours up. Diego said, what is your favorite size for Omegamon to show up as? I think he mentioned a specific version and I chose not to mention it just in case it spoiled people from something. I kind of like when he's giant, honestly.
Big enough for the tamers to perch on his shoulders.
Yeah, so it has to be big. And someone said, Stark asked, if you go back in time, snap your fingers, and change the Digimon mascot to any of the rookies from the original V-Pet line, which you pick, I feel like the brand does not work if it's not Agumon. It has to be...
You just have like a extremely veiny, overly muscled dinosaur.
Yeah, I feel like it doesn't... No one clicks other than Agumon for me in that position. At least
lean more towards Gabumon, but you know,
makes sense. Then someone said, "So this one's interesting." Someone who regularly sends in questions asked a very similar question in the chat, and I thought it was them, and it turns out it wasn't. So Mark and DevQ have announced or have discussed for eventually buying the popper Mark uses to make popcorn. But I don't think you guys have mentioned the recipe on stream. Please do. I would like to make it. So it's simple: you get a popcorn popper, which I use a Whirly Pop. You can actually just use a steel mixing bowl and cover it with aluminum and poke some holes in it if you want, and then grab with tongs. Find whatever type of popcorn you want. Get half a cup. Throw it in. 2 tablespoons of oil. Throw it in. 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Throw it in. That is it. And I'm actually I don't think I've told Dave yet. I'm buying her the popper for Christmas so she doesn't have to deal with it. Although I think I recall at some point her family was harassing her to buy the popper because they found out someone had given her a popcorn recipe, I think.
Yes, my parents are sluts for popcorn, but
yeah, so I'm
due
just,
to teeth issues, cannot eat regular popcorn.
Yes, I'm just going to buy you the popper along with a sample of the baby popcorn I've talked about. And that will be your Christmas/holiday gift, and you can just enjoy it.
And then I will finally watch the Digimon movies on Blu-ray while eating the popcorn.
And let's see. Then we ask, what do you guys think of a Doremi Digimon crossover or a Hollow Knight crossover with Digimon? So Doremi, I have not watched, so I don't like know.
Me either.
Hollow Knight is Dev's thing, so she can comment on it. I really can't. Like, I understand what it is. I have not played it where I would know it enough to comment.
I don't think it would really work. I mean, something in that game style, yes, but their little bugs in Digimon are kind of big, so I don't think the environments would work that great.
Not just have, like, a tiny Agumon in the art style dashing around?
I mean, you might be able to get away with doing, like, a Karamon, a very tiny Karamon.
But yeah, Doremi just isn't something I like. The most Doremi I've ever watched was Toei doing those summer streams and me trying to figure out how they broke the deinterlacing. Because I just remember watching that going like, I'm pretty sure this is the first time this dub has aired in like 20 years and fans deserve better than this. I don't understand how they broke it. And I'm hoping that fans who watched it did not notice the deinterlacing was broken since they definitely have not seen that dub version in a while. Then someone asked, do you think it's possible Time Stranger could be patched to get a performance mode? I don't understand why they did not announce having one at all. Like, it feels like that, even if they can't figure out how to get it to run at 4K 60 on the systems, which doesn't make sense, 1080p 60 should be, it feels like they
They've been waiting
should.
on it long enough. Someone there should be able to pull it off.
Well, that's the thing, like, it runs on PC just fine. Like, even if you can't do 4K 60, and it should, 1080p 60, definitely. 1080p 60 is what they give in the PC specs for low-end machines, like minimum. Feels like it should. Then someone had a question for you, DevQ, which is, if you were going to make a Gekkoman costume and wanted some type of long tongue on it, do you have any ideas for that?
I would just use like a bit of batting and like velvet or minky for the tongue. Just stuff it
Okay,
in there and just roll it up.
I have a question. So this may not work with a costume, but what about those like goopy hand slapper things?
That would be a fun idea,
Or would
but
that
it
just
would
not
get
work with a?
gross immediately.
Okay, that's what I thought. When I saw this question, I'm like, I wonder if that would work, or if it just would get so dirty so quickly. It just, and like I know it wouldn't like perspective wise
It would be a
work.
lint. It would be a lint magnet in
Okay.
5 seconds.
Okay. Last chance for questions from chat. Someone said asked as a could it work if they decided starting with Time Stranger they want Digimon games to be yearly, something Habu used to talk about. Do you think that's viable and how would that be done?
No. No, not at all. Please. Please give developers more time to make games not suck.
See, I'm trying to think like if we were starting right now, how would it be viable? It would be viable in some ways. I don't think it'd be viable permanently. I think for a few years you could get away with it. So like right now, we have Time Stranger in 2025. In 2026, you do a port collection of Digimon World 1 through 3.
Or like shitty little puzzle games.
Yeah, in 2020, here's what I honestly think we're gonna get in the next few years. And you're gonna groan, Dev, but it seems like so the engine for Time Stranger is very clearly an upgraded Cyber Sleuth engine.
Yeah.
A Cyber Sleuth remake using the upgraded engine,
Yeah, if they could do that.
where it's filling out the environments from the game, just doing that and adding more Digimon.
Yeah, I could see them doing that.
But then you slow, but then like in so that's 2027, 2028, you have a new game ready, but that's when you start to slide on having stuff. Unless you're gonna do, like you were saying, smaller games, which I think would be viable, but I don't know if that's something they'd want. Like, Pac-Man gets a lot of small games. And I think that's interesting. I don't know if it'd work for Digimon. I think di Digimon fans also seem to have this weird hunger to think they're get the games are AAA, and they're not. They're good. They're good for what they are. They're not AAA games, nor should they be. Time Stranger's like a B, like production, and that's what it should be. If that game was AAA, I think that would have fallen apart a long time ago. The last question from the chat was, I don't. Quite, I think they're asking what movie studio would we want to work on a Digimon movie. I think they're quite they're it's I think I'm misreading it, but I think they're asking what movie studio we would want to work on a big Digimon movie. I feel like it's less the studio and more like who the producer and director would be and if they get it or not. Because like if you had told
Just
me,
make war game again.
well it, but like for like a big movie, like if you told me that Warner Brothers was gonna actually do a good live action Pokemon, that didn't seem possible. But it I
Would
think
they?
yeah, Detective Pikachu worked, don't you think so?
Yeah, I actually fucking love Detective
Yeah, and
Pikachu.
that's would you have expected Warner Brothers to pull off a Pokemon movie?
50-50. It's like
Yeah,
they
I guess
have
maybe.
the ability, but it depends on how much they cheap out on it. But they didn't, so.
Oh, we got one more question before we tap out. Burnt Forever asks, do we see a Digimon Color with Atmon using the Cross Wars model in the future? I feel like that mostly is what we covered earlier, which is if Cross Wars sells, I feel like we could see more of these sort of reversioning. Yeah. Because, like, here's the thing. Like we said, next year the anniversaries are Tamers, which I would expect to get one of the colors, the 25th Digivices. And then there are anniversaries for big anniversaries, that is, for Savers, Atmon, and Ghost Game. I feel like you could get a... I think you could do, like, three models at a time, like the Pendulums, where one's Savers, one's Atmon, one's Ghost Game.
It could definitely work.
Yeah, I would like that. I think that would work well. I'm trying to...
So y'all have to buy this shit, so...
Yeah.
It incentivizes them to make
in fact,
shit.
The colors work. So, okay, so we get a yellow-orange one with Agumon. We get a red one with Gatchamon. And then, like, a pearl essence white with Gamamon.
Ooh.
And you could just call them, like, the Digimon Color Anime Anniversary Series. I'd like that. Dev, now that Wikimon is actually back up and not crashing every 10 seconds, what article would you like people to read to potentially crash it again?
Hello, Mon, because...
You're tired?
That is what I am lusting for. I am exhausted, but actually, as soon as I'm done this podcast, I'm going straight back to work.
Good luck, Dev. And then we may... Yeah, so here's the thing. The episode where we'll be talking about Ghost Game and Time Strangers in 2 weeks, we may just start doing weekly episodes starting next week to do that behind-the-scenes special and to drain the pot before... So maybe
we'll see what
the
load ends up being.
Well, because here's the thing, it could be very empty, and it could also be that when we have to make the decision Thursday night, we both may just go, I'm going to be too tired on Monday. This is a problem for future Mark and Dev.
Yep.
But we will see.
We're sorry, future Mark and Dev.
I run with the will as always there, at our Discord. There may be a contest coming up. I'm not sure yet at the moment, but we will see. So get there if you can. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. We will catch you in a week or two. Not sure which at the moment. Bye.
Bye.